From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Independent cinema is as old as movies themselves. We're going to hear now about an independent movie company from the early 1900s. It mostly made one-reel films. They cost a nickel to watch in storefront theaters called Nickelodeons. Most of the little startup studios are forgotten, but as Bellamy Palenthorpe of member station KPLU reports, some of the company's films have been saved thanks to the efforts of the founder's grandson.
Nickelodeons were once as common as coffee shops, and most of the silent films they showed as disposable as YouTube videos.
We don't know 90% of the history of this fascinating early period.
Historian Kathy Fuller Seeley teaches media studies at Georgia State University. She says the dominant movie studios of the day squashed the little guys and stole the limelight.
Edison and Biograph tried to completely dominate film production, but the demand for new motion pictures from these thousands of little Nickelodeon theaters that were spreading across the country was so great that these few studios couldn't satisfy all their needs.
One man who saw opportunity in that was Edwin Thanhauser, who ran a theater company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His grandson, Ned, now travels the country, telling people how the family business wound up in a trendy suburb just 45 minutes from Broadway.
New Rochelle, New York?
Yep, they were founded in 1909, 100 years ago.
That's where Dick Van Dyke was from.
You're absolutely right, Dick Van Dyke.
Thanhauser is in the lobby of the historic Hollywood Theater in Portland, Oregon, selling DVDs at a table. An organist is warming up before a special screening of some of the Thanhauser movies, which Ned introduces with a PowerPoint presentation.
The entertainment industry went from live performers on stage that were somewhat unreliable in terms of showing up or being sober, to being able to capture it on film once and then project it many times.
The new medium promised to be a money machine at a time when theater attendance was declining. Edwin Thanhauser saw the writing on the wall.
My dad needed a studio to make pictures in.
So he leased a roller rink, said Lloyd Thanhauser, Edwin's son, Ned's father, in a 1980 interview.
The problems facing the movie maker in those days were horrendous.
For years, Lloyd Thanhauser told his son that all the films had gone up in smoke, says Ned. They were made of highly flammable nitrate, which was expensive to store.
And he determined in the 20s that these films were really worthless. They were like Pulp Fiction. They were read and throw away. So he was given a bill.
And he said, not on your life. That's expensive. They're no good. They're no use to anybody. Nobody wants them. Burn them up. And they did.
But what Lloyd Thanhauser never told his son was that for every negative that was burned, there were 30 or 40 prints made. Some of them ended up in film archives. Ned learned of their existence through a public television show. Then he discovered a wealthy collector in New Hampshire had written a manuscript about the company.
The Thanhauser Encyclopedia by David Bowers that has 3,000 articles, transcriptions of all of the reviews from every film that was made. He transcribed all of that information onto a computer disk, and then I converted it into a CD-ROM.
Which he now sells on his website. Ned created a nonprofit called Thanhauser Film Preservation. He runs it in his spare time.
Ned Thanhauser's efforts are truly changing the way we understand this period of early film history.
Historian Kathy Fuller Seeley says Thanhauser films were different from the beginning.
They really stand out as trying to attract middle-class movie viewers who had been suspicious of sort of the low-class, pie-in-the-face, slightly tacky nature of some early films.
The Thanhauser Company made literary adaptations of classics such as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Cinderella. They made a serial thriller called The Million Dollar Mystery that earned more than that for the studio and launched the career of its star, James Cruise. But Edwin Thanhauser's company didn't make it.
Like many other of the small independent studios of the day, they end up getting subsumed, bought out, shutting down as the new generation of Warner Brothers and what would become MGM were growing out on the West Coast. It's not his fault. He did the best he could.
Thanhauser Films closed down in 1918.
This is what he's been able to recover right here.
Back at the Hollywood Theater in Portland, Ned's son, studio founder Edwin's great-grandson, is helping his dad get the word out. He says he and his brothers used to roll their eyes at their father's obsession with the old films, but he too caught the bug.
It's a history lesson. You can look at the bigger studios, the MGMs and stuff, and you get a much more glossed version. I think the independent film movement in the early industry is really, really overlooked. From another perspective, It's just the content itself. Some of the best films are really interesting to watch, you know? They're still fascinating, and they still tell a good story.
The Thanhousers have located nearly 200 of the company's movies so far. They continue to search for artifacts and prints of more than 800 Thanhouser films they know were made but haven't seen yet. For NPR News, I'm Bellamy Palethorpe in Portland, Oregon.